fancy,
said the other guard. It's most urgent, said Vimes, maintaining a wooden expression. He tried to move forward. The first guard sidestepped neatly and pushed him sharply in the chest.
No one is going nowhere, he said. Orders of the king, see? So you can push off back to your pit, Captain Vimes with a V.
It wasn't the words which made up Vimes's mind, it was the way the other man sniggered.
Stand aside, he said.
The guard leaned down.
Who's going to make me?
He rapped on Vimes's helmet.
Copper.
There are times when it is a veritable pleasure to drop the bomb right away.
Lance Constable Carrot, I want you to charge these men, said Vimes.
Carrot saluted. Very good, sir, he said, and turned and trotted smartly back the way they had come.
Hey, shouted Vimes as the boy disappeared around a corner.
That's what I like to see, said the first guard, leaning on his spear. That's a young man with initiative, that young man. A bright lad. He doesn't want to stop along here and have his ears twisted off. That's a young man who's going to go a long way, if he's got any sense.
Very sensible, said the other guard.
He leaned the spear against the wall.
You watchmen make me want to throw up, he said conversationally. Poncing around all the time, never doing a proper job of work, throwing your weight about as if you counted for something. So me and Clarence are going to show you what real guarding is about. Isn't that right?
I could just about manage one of them, Vimes thought, as he took a few steps backward. If he was facing the other way, at least. Clarence propped his spear against the gateway and spat on his hands. There was a long, terrifying ululation. Vimes was amazed to realise it wasn't coming from him. Carrot appeared around the corner at a dead run. He had a felling axe in either hand. His huge leather sandals flapped on the cobblestones as he bounded closer, accelerating all the time. And all the time there was this cry, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like something caught in a trap at the bottom of a two-tone echo canyon. The two palace guards stood rigid with astonishment.
I should duck if I was you, said Vimes from near ground level.
The two axes left Carrot's hands and whirred through the air, making a noise like a brace of partridges. One of them hit the palace gate, burying half the head in the woodwork. The other one hit the shaft of the first one and split it. Then Carrot arrived. Vimes went and sat down on a nearby bench for a while and rolled himself a cigarette. Eventually he said,
I think that's about enough, Constable. I think they'd like to come quietly now.
Yes, sir. What are they accused of, sir?
Said Carrot, holding one limp body in either hand.
Assaulting an officer of the watch in the execution of his duty, and, resisting arrest.
Under section brackets VII of the Public Order Act of 1457, said Carrot.
Yes, said Vimes solemnly. Yes, I suppose so.
But they didn't resist very much, sir, Carrot pointed out.
Well, attempting to resist arrest. I should just leave them over by the wall until we come back. I don't expect they'll want to go anywhere.
Right you are, sir.
Don't hurt them, mind, said Vimes. You mustn't hurt prisoners.
That's right, sir, said Carrot conscientiously. Prisoners once charged have rights, sir. It says so in the Dignity of Man, brackets Civic Rights, Act of 1341. I keep telling Corporal Nobbs they have rights, I tell him. This means you do not put the boot in.
Very well put, Constable.
Carrot looked down. You have the right to remain silent, he said. You have the right not to injure yourself falling down the steps on the way to the cells. You have the right not to jump out of high windows. You do not have to say anything, you see, but anything you do say, well, I have to take it down and it might be used in evidence. He pulled out his notebook and licked his pencil. He leaned down further. Pardon? He said. He looked up at Vimes. How do you spell groan, sir? He said.
G-R-O-N-E, I think.
Very good, sir.
Oh, and Constable?
Yes, sir.
Why the axes?
They were armed, sir. I got them from the blacksmith in Market Street, sir. I said you'd be along later to pay for them.
And the cry? Said Vimes weakly.
Dwarfish war yodel, sir, said Carrot proudly.
It's a good cry, said Vimes, picking his words with care. But I'd be grateful if you'd warned me first another time, all right?
Certainly, sir.
In writing, I think.
The librarian swung on. It was slow progress because there were things he wasn't keen on meeting. Creatures evolved to fill every niche in the environment, and some of those in the dusty immensity of L space were best avoided. They were much more unusual than ordinary unusual creatures. Usually he could forewarn himself by keeping a careful eye on the kickstool crabs that grazed harmlessly on the dust. When they were spooked, it was time to hide. Several times he had to flatten himself against the shelves as a thesaurus thundered by. He waited patiently as a herd of critters crawled past, grazing on the contents of the choicer books and leaving behind them piles of small, slim volumes of literary criticism. And there were other things, which he hurried away from and tried not to look at. And you had to avoid clichés at all costs. He finished the last of his peanuts atop a stepladder, which was browsing mindlessly off the high shelves. The territory definitely had a familiar feel, or at least he got the feeling that it would eventually be familiar. Time had a different meaning in L space.